Staying for Wilma.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Hurricane Wilma's picking up steam as it barrels toward Florida. It's now a Category 3, 125-mile-an-hour winds. It's expected to make landfall around Naples later today. Forecasters say Wilma could pack 17-foot storm surge, and the Keys are really vulnerable. A lot of residents, though, have decided to stay. Our Dan Gretsch is in Miami.
There was a mandatory evacuation order in all of the Keys. At the same time, the reports say that about 10% of Keys residents actually left. And I think the sense down there among a lot of the residents is they've ridden through other storms before. They'll ride through this one as well.
But we just had two huge hurricanes do major damage to Gulf Coast cities. That didn't play into their minds at all, you think?
The people of Key West in particular are a very special breed. And I think that hurricanes are very much a part of yearly life there. It's not so much that they don't know what's coming, but they feel like they've seen it before, and they'd rather stay there in their homes and weather the thing.
What kind of economic impact could this storm have on the state of Florida?
Well, the economic impact will be twofold. The first, of course, is the state's main industry, tourism, Fantasy Fest, which sort of marks the beginning of the season in Key West. Fantasy Fest was moved back a week, and that was a $50 million economic impact, some estimates say. The other half of that is agriculture, and in particular the citrus region. This storm is going to run pretty much right through the heart of citrus country in central Florida. And it's a $9 billion industry. It's already on its heels from last year's four hurricanes. This hurricane's going to do a lot of damage to this year's crop.
Marketplace's Dan Gretsch in Miami. Elsewhere today, a big deal for Vietnam's tiny version of Wall Street. The government's allowing foreigners to hold more shares in listed companies. Jocelyn Ford reports.
Vietnam's communist government launched the country's stock market just 5 years ago. Today, only three dozen companies are listed. Trading sessions last about half an hour max. Hong Kong-based business consultant Robert Broadfoot says allowing foreigners to hold a larger percentage of shares is one step toward making trading in Vietnam more lively.
You know, they want to bring more companies to the market, and I think that's the shorter-term aim. And in order to do that, you've got to really improve the transparency, the governance, get international accounting standards.
Most of the listed companies were previously owned by the government. Over the next 3 years, Vietnam is planning to privatize about half of its 3,000 companies that are still state-owned. Meanwhile, private companies have been sprouting up at a furious pace. 15 years ago, Vietnam had only about 100 private companies. Today, it has over 200,000. I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
In U.S. markets, Google lifted the NASDAQ, but Caterpillar's earnings sank the blue chips. The Dow fell 65 points Friday to 10,215. The S&P 500 was up a point in three quarters to 1179. The NASDAQ gained 14 to 2082. This is Marketplace. On Wall Street, we're coming to the end of another earnings season. The company numbers have been pouring in day after day. So what's the big picture look like? Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Things have been looking a bit bleak for the economy lately. There was Hurricane Katrina, energy prices have soared, there's talk the housing market could collapse, and many airlines and automakers seem to be on life support. But economist Guy Fauché says this earnings season tells a different story.
Conditions generally remain strong. Consumer spending growth is holding up okay even with higher energy prices. Business investment growth is slowing, but it remains steady. I think the economy is holding up pretty well.
Fauché points out that businesses are posting record profits and have a cushion for tough times. But it isn't all roses. He says lackluster holiday spending, coupled with rising labor and energy costs, could add up to disappointing earnings next quarter. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, medtronic.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. You know the words, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. But when New York costs so much, when Inc. magazine calls it the 184th best place for business, why bother? This week, Marketplace takes Manhattan, and our New York Bureau Chief Bob Moon asks, what's the Big Apple got going for it now?
This is not going to be a story with some self-important New York newsman telling you how important the most self-important city in the world is. Not when respected New York historian John Steele Gordon has this to say.
New York is one of the world's great cities. It ranks with Rome or London or Paris, but it's no longer the case that you have to be here.
Now, this is Gordon's beloved hometown, so let him add this.
People want to be here.
It's just that more and more people can't afford to be here. Gordon says government leaders haven't figured out yet they can't keep raising taxes the way they did when people had to be here. And he says they can no longer afford the most labor-friendly laws in the country.
You can't use plastic pipe in New York City, for instance, although it's much cheaper and much more efficient because it's much less labor-intensive to use plastic pipe than the old-fashioned galvanized and copper.
That, Gordon says, is just the kind of thing New York's leaders need to get a clue about.
You can start a new business in Danbury for a lot less than you can start a new business on Canal Street. You can hire good people for a whole lot less money in Sioux Falls. But a lot of these small cities are now beginning to perk up again.
Critics complain only the giant companies tend to get tax concessions from municipal government here when more than 90% of New York City businesses employ fewer than 100 people. Those are the very businesses that can't afford the professional advisors that are often needed just to safely navigate the city's arcane zoning and business regulations. Just putting up a sign the wrong size, for example, can bring a big fine. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, a businessman himself, has raised billions in business taxes in recent years. He's insisted this isn't the Walmart of cities, and premium expenses are just the cost of doing business here.
They are well worth it to be here. You get great value for it. But if you don't like what we're selling, then you shouldn't be buying it.
What about the guy in the corner who's trying to sell to people in the neighborhood? And what about the person supplying them?
Manhattan Institute scholar Steve Malenga argues the city's economy is missing its middle, relying on high-paying Wall Street jobs or low-paying tourism work. He says that leaves most other businesses struggling with an economy that's stalled out.
Profit margins get squeezed, in which case they have less money to reinvest in creating new jobs and new businesses, or they try to serve the city from outside the city. Whatever profits they generate get pulled out of the city.
Malenga says there's a cautionary lesson here, dating back to the time of Nelson Rockefeller in the 1960s.
You can go back and read articles, and people were saying at that point, we're still the manufacturing capital of America, and the city was at that time, and it's not going to all just disappear. Well, it did all just disappear.
And you can't say they weren't warned. This scene from Gypsy back in 1962 may have gotten it right.
They're so smart in New York.
New York is the center of everything.
New York is the center of New York.
In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
For years, Wall Street has echoed